What's up, everybody? My name is Matt. Thank you so much for joining us for the Nintendo Fever podcast. This is going to be episode number 63, and I wanted to get that out in the open immediately, and I'm joined today by my wonderful co-host, as always, Polly. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys all out there in the interwebs doing?
I heard them all say they're doing good. I feel like the majority of people that listen, they're always like, yeah, you know what? I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for asking. Thank you. They appreciate that.
I heard the collective, like, we're doing great from everybody on the whole planet who is listening to this.
I also wanted to make sure I said the number immediately because I feel like you get worried that I'm going to forget to say the number sometimes.
Yes, I breathed an internal sigh of relief when you said episode 63.
I'm going to keep you guessing, though. Who knows what's going to happen next week. Maybe next week I won't do that.
Well, fair enough. Keep me on my toes.
All the time. Today, guys, everybody, guys, gals, Pokemons, whatever you are that are listening to this show, we have a fun-filled show with a lot of cool and new information this week. We're going to be talking about the Game of the Month Club today, and we have some cool and exciting news about it. We're also going to be talking about who's that Pokemon, recent swag that we purchased. We actually have a new segment based around the different games that came out this week. We're going to be telling you what we've been playing with our own two fingers. And then today, Holly, we're going to get nostalgic. Are you ready to talk about our favorite E3 moments?
Well, I'm trying not to be ready because we kind of have to wait to get to the feature. And so I'm trying to contain my excitement we can get through the first half of this show.
I have a big old smile on my face because I am so excited and so ready. But we do have to not hurry, but we do want to try and move at a decent pace. So let's go ahead and get into the Game of the Month information.
We've been discussing this behind the scenes, and we have some great plans in store for you listeners.
We do. We're going to try and change things up just a tiny bit, not in the sense of what the Game of the Club, but what the Game of the Wow, I'm totally not even knowing how to speak right now. What the Game of the Month Club is about. The idea was always to introduce video games that you may not have had a ton of time with or play your backlog or just something to get you to interact with a game. And we're all going to do it together. That way we can kind of share a dialogue about the game. I shouldn't say we. Holly usually does a good job, but me, I've been neglecting it a little bit, and I want to make sure that I'm going to participate a little bit better on Twitter especially. That's where I mainly frequent when I talk about video games and stuff, using the hashtag NFGameClub. But for this month, we have two exciting things. Exciting thing number one is we're going to run a poll to ask you what game you would like us to all participate and play for the Game of the Month. It's going to be right on the website, probably in this post. Am I right, Holly?
Yes, you can comment on the post. When the YouTube video comes up, you can comment there. I don't think we're going to have like an actual poll where you can click the particular answer you want and then hit answer. We're just going to count on you guys to send us your vote through comments this week.
And I will also be counting comments via Twitter as well. But we have five games for you to choose from. Those five games being SteamWorld Heist, Runbo, Yoshi's Woolly World, Woe Dave, and Super Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins. We tried to make sure that we got some fun virtual console games, retail games, and then downloadable games as well. I feel like we got a really good mix of games on this list. But we're going to go ahead and choose those five games, and we'll be asking you to comment on the post inside the website, comment on the YouTube video. I'll be doing stuff on Twitter asking the question. Holly will be asking on Facebook and on Twitter as well, I'm sure. So just keep your eyes open because we're going to be talking about the different games that we're going to pick from for the Game of the Month for June. We're going to start this basically, it's the second week of June because it runs into being June 6th is when it'll all get started, is the episode that you'll be hearing or listening to. And then cool thing about Game of the Month Club Part 2, Holly, what are we going to do?
We are going to get real serious about getting you guys to participate in the Game of the Month Club.
By bribing you.
Yes, each month we will have either a game code to give away or a code for monies on the eShop, real life money that you can place in your eShop account so that you can buy more games. You could buy the Game of the Month Club for the next month after that if you end up winning that. So the way that we're going to structure this is really simple. Every single week of a particular month, if you go to Twitter or send us an email using hashtag NF Game Club and talk about the Game of the Month Club for that month, every single week that you use that hashtag, you will be entered in. And so you can be entered in multiple times to potentially win a code for a game or a code for some money on the eShop.
And then I guess there's actually a third part about this that I wanted to make sure. We're not going to do the Game of the Month Club the way that we're doing before, where we played the game all month and then we talk about it on the last episode of the month on the podcast. We're actually going to be talking about this game continuously throughout the month. It's going to be basically the featured game of the month, not something that we just wait till the end and we can share our enjoyment or our dislike of it, whatever. We're actually going to every single week talk about it a little bit. And we're even going to set up kind of checkpoints or basic ideas of like, hey, everybody, let's all try to get to the first boss by the next week's episode. And then we'll all talk about that boss for that episode. You know, we're going to kind of structure it so that we can communicate with each other and kind of try to stay with each other at the same time. You know, that's why, you know, try to post on the Twitter account with hashtag NF Game Club. That way we can really see like, oh, you know, Factor, for instance, because I know he plays along with us a lot at Factor. He's you know, in World 2. I need to hurry up and get to World 2 because I want to participate where he's at. Or Green Moblin maybe beat the next boss. So, like, I'm going to try and catch up to him. Or maybe they see where I'm at and they want to catch up to me. We want to try to keep it a very, very open dialogue.
Yeah, Gentis. Shout out to Gentis as well. He's another one who is a frequent listener, frequent participator.
Yes.
If that's a word.
Frequent participator. Whatever. I can't speak.
I feel like it is.
Yes, I feel like that, but... that those rambling words of sentences all go together.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
That is NF Game Club. We're going to talk about it maybe just a tiny bit more at the end, just so I can remind you to get in and participate. But once again, the games for you to choose from are SteamWorld Heist, Runbo, Yoshi's Woolly World, Woe Dave, and Super Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins. So we'll go back and talk to that about that a little bit later. But we're going to move on to the next part of the show, which is who's that Pokemon? Holly, are you ready to guess that Pokemon?
I sure hope I am.
Okay, I got no information for you.
What?
No, nothing at all. I'm not going to say any words that maybe talk about what this Pokemon is. That is, it is a Pokemon.
Do you at least know what generation it is? Because that's going to be my first question.
That's your first question. Perfect.
Okay, good.
Gen 6.
Gen 6. All right. So my next question is, what type or types is it?
The types are rock and water.
Rock and water. Okay. Okay, does it evolve, or is it evolved from something?
It is evolved from something.
Okay, is it a middle evolution? Does it have another evolution to come, or is it the final evolution of something?
Final evolution.
Okay. Final evolution out of 2 or 3?
Out of 2.
Out of 2. Okay, Gen 6, final evolution out of 2 or 3. Can you give me a general description of, like, what it's shaped like?
Humanoid.
Humanoid, water, and rock.
Water, rock, humanoid, Gen 6, final evolution out of 2.
Final evolution out of 2. Okay, I'm gonna have to admit that I'm so sad. I'm racking my brain right now, but I don't know if I know what it is, so you'll have to let me know.
Is it the Gen 6 thing that's throwing you off?
It could be. I mean, I've been playing Gen 6 recently, as a matter of fact, but
any guesses? I want you to at least try a guess.
Oh, yikes. Oh, my goodness.
I'll give you one hint.
This
Pokemon has a lot of hands.
Oh, my goodness. I don't think that helped.
No, because this is definitely the most defining feature about this Pokemon. So if that did not give it away... I'm gonna say it. So, listeners, if you got an idea, well, 3, 2, 1. It's Barbara Asili.
OMG! I'm not even sure if I have ever seen that Pokemon and thought like, oh, that's a Barbara Asili.
Look up 689 because I may not even be saying that word right. Barbara Asili.
B A R
A C L E.
L E. Okay.
It has a lot of hands. I'm sure anybody who's familiar with this Pokemon, every part of it is hands. Its face is his hands. Its shoulders are hands. Its hands are hands. Its feet are hands. Well, maybe his feet are feet, I guess.
I think maybe tell me the spelling again.
B-A-R-B-A-R-A-C-L-E.
Oh, ACLE, there's two. Okay. OMG, my goodness. Yeah, I think I used to see all the time when you break rocks in the game, the pre-evolved form of this comes up all the time, and it is so irritating. But I never evolved it. I don't think I've ever seen one of these in the wild. I haven't seen it in the anime. Yes, you have.
I have stumped Holly. I feel good.
Well, way to go, Pokemon website, because I'm sure that's where you...
No, I was planning this for months. For months. I've been waiting until the point that I could pick this Pokemon.
Barbaracle. I don't know. Barbaracle? That's how I'd pronounce that.
Silly? I don't know. I'm terrible with spelling.
Well, congrats to you listeners who were able to get that way before Matt even said what it was.
Yes.
That's very impressive if you were able to do that. So good job.
Now it's time for you, Holly, to try and stump our listeners, right?
Correct. Although I don't know how easily you will be stumped with this one. Again, I just kind of chose this randomly off of the Pokemon.com website. So last week we did not have a Who's That Pokemon section, just so you're aware, so you weren't missing out on anything this past week. And we don't have one to reveal this week. But for this week, I will describe a Pokemon for you all to guess if you would like to do so. This Pokemon is Generation 2. Generation 2 Pokemon. It is a dual bug and steel type Pokemon. It is a second and final evolution, sort of like Barbaracle. Whatever, Matt.
Barbaracle.
I give up on that one. So this is also a second and final evolution. And in general, it is kind of round shaped. I mean, that isn't like it's, you know, perfect. Just, you know, physical description of that Pokemon. But again, those details are, it is a Generation 2 Pokemon. It is a dual bug and steel type. It is a second and final evolution, and it is round in shape.
Is the dual bug and steel type, is that a little bit of a hint? Are there many Pokemon that are dual bug and steel?
Sorry, I thought you were saying dual as a type. I was like, wait a minute, it only has two types, and that's bug and steel. It is definitely not very common, so okay. I feel like you listeners could, that if could you're help. If you're familiar with Gen 2, this Pokemon should probably pop out at you pretty easily. So that will be revealed next week in next week's episode. Though, if you'd like to send us your guess as to what Pokemon that is, you can use hashtag NFPokemon on Twitter, or you can send us an email. And as always, we will let you know how you can send us an email at the end of the show.
Yep. So
good luck.
We're going to. So perfect. So make sure you make those guesses once again. Hashtag NFPokemon. And if you win, or even if you participate and make a guess, we'll usually talk about you next week on the show, because any guess you make is better than any guess I could have possibly made ever. So now we're going to move on to the recent swag. And I got nothing this week, Holly. As you know, I've hit a little bit of a dry spot. I've been busy. I've been running around with my head cut off. And I still have not purchased any new Vigia games for a little while. So you, Holly, have you purchased anything new?
Well, I haven't purchased anything new. I mean, I recently purchased something online, but it hasn't arrived yet. So I will reveal what that is. Oh, hang on. I just had to try to remind myself, though, what it actually is. It is Nintendo related, so next week I will definitely talk about that, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. However, this week I thought I would possibly several months ago, I think, actually, let me look at this. I'm looking at that Zelda journal that I used for recent swag 1 week.
So this is basically an update for recent swag. This is this is past swag, recent update.
Yeah. So the first day that I actually wrote in this journal was July 16th of last year. And I kind of used it as like a little journal where I talk about the Game of the Month Club, actually. And then I started talking about Zelda. But let me count really quick how many pages I've actually written on, because I'm pretty proud at how full I have gotten this thing. It's probably a little less than half that I have filled in. So I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17.
I always try
17.
To like be really like I try to use a journal, and I get into it for like a good solid like 3 or 4 weeks, and then I just drop it. I'm terrible with keeping on with it.
Well, I'll start pretty strong, and then I kind of drop off as well. But sometimes I'll, you know, go back to writing in a journal, even if it's been a few months. So 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 40. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm just going to actually have to guess that I have written well over 100 pages in this journal. So I'm pretty pleased with that.
I'm glad that the theme of Zelda on the journal could keep you inspired to continue using it over and over again.
Yes. So, you know, more or less.
That's what I'm saying. That is totally what caused you to want to keep playing with it, was that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I have other, you know, plain old notebooks or plain old journals where I kind of drop off and never go back to writing in them. But the fact that this is like this forest green, it's got like Zelda symbols embossed on it in gold and other symbols just kind of like, you know, carved into it. That's kind of a bad word, I think. But yeah, it's a really cool thing that I still use. So it's always good to have recent swag that lasts and is something that you can really appreciate for a long time.
Yep, for sure. Now we're going to move on to doing something a little bit new for the show that I think is going to be actually a pretty fun segment. I'm excited for this a lot. We're going to be talking about what is out this week. New games you can buy if you want to go out and get something brand spanking new this week. These are games that you can go and get. We're going to be if you go to any website or are subscribed to the Nintendo newsletter, you probably already know about this. But as for somebody who's interested in what comes out every week, but sometimes it's not always, I don't remember every week to go and double check it. We're just going to kind of help you guys to remember, hey, these games came out, and there's actually a couple of really cool ones this week that I'm excited to talk about just briefly and let you know, I think you should go and get this. But for the 3DS, mm-hmm. Contra 3 The Alien Wars came out, which is a really cool Contra game. Digger Dan...
There's a Super Nintendo game, so it's a virtual console game.
Yes. Yeah, that one is a virtual console. Digger Dan DX, which I don't know anything about that one. Holly, do you have
Nor
any?
Do I.
Okay.
I think it's a buck, so I can't imagine that it's like, you know, the game that you absolutely have to go and play. But yeah, it's a buck.
It's a buck.
Give it a try if you're really wanting to buy something for a buck.
And it's a new game. So
try it out.
If you're looking for something new, but you don't want to break the bank, Digger Dan DX may be that thing for you. I have no idea. It could be like a terribly like racist game, and we don't even know. Yes. It's actually, I just pulled it
up.
It's
a puzzle game.
It's a puzzle game where you dig. I know we probably could have figured this out. If there's like weird names, we should take turns guessing what we think the game is about.
That would be fun.
And then also we got some DLC for Wind Waker. Or not Wind Waker.
For Hyrule Warriors,
Legends, the Master Windwalker pack. If you got the season pass, you already got this, or you can go and get it. And also,
we're pretty cheap too. I think it's like under $1. I think for the Master Windwaker pack, which is kind of seems kind of insane, but.
And then also, Fire Emblem Fates got some DLC. This is the Heirs of Fate Part 3, and it is included. It's including MacPap 2. Yeah. Obviously,
MacPap 2.
I don't have the Fire Emblem games, but you do. Are you going to be getting this DLC?
I haven't yet. I bought MacPap. Now you've got me struggling with that one. I bought MacPap 1. I've barely gotten a fraction of the way through it because I kind of got stumped on one of the maps. I wish the game, like the in-game details included like the difficulty level. It doesn't. And when you get MacPap 1, for example, the DLC maps aren't necessarily listed in order like from easiest to hardest. And so I kind of got stumped on one and I thought like, ugh, and then I didn't really move on. But hey, one of those maps allows you to get experience points for free in Conquest. Well, for free. You kind of have to pay for the map. But you get experience points, as many as you need, even in Fire Emblem Fates Conquest. So I totally paid to be able to grind in Fire Emblem Fates Conquest, and I'm not overly unhappy about that. So, but I'll try to move on to more DLC. But while I'm still struggling with MacPap 1, I'm probably not going to be buying MacPap 2.
Is it still a good map, though? I mean, regardless if you're grinding or that's the reason why you bought it, is it still a fun map to play?
Yeah, it's okay. It's got an interesting twist in that, like, these monsters called Faceless just keep kind of being conjured onto the map, but then they all kind of try to run away to this teleportation thing at the end of the map, and so basically you're just trying to take as many out as you can before they all escape. Eventually they stop being conjured onto the map, so you don't have to worry about just being totally overwhelmed. But yeah, it's just a pretty basic way to grind if you really need to.
Sounds interesting, if nothing else. Now on to what's available for the Wii U this week. New to download is Super Mario Mashup Pack for Minecraft Wii U Edition. This is the best part about this, just so you're aware. it is a free update if you already own the game. This is not DLC. If you already own Minecraft for Wii U, then you get a free update that allows you to play with the awesome Super Mario skins, which, spoiler, that's what I'll be talking about for what we've been playing. So we're going to move on. We're going to move on for that for now.
Good. I have a question, and I'm definitely going to ask it.
Also available is Pixel Junk Monsters. I don't know, Holly, if you know about Pixel Junk Monsters.
Well, the description says something about, this is the game that, has already received some praise and things like
it's
that.
Awesome.
What, like on mobile?
No, this was a PlayStation 3 downloadable game. It's also on the Vita and it's also on the PS4, I believe. Not 100% sure about that one, but it is so cool that it's on the Wii U. I have it for the Vita and I'm pretty sure I'm going to pick this up for the Wii U because I love this game. It is a really great tower defense game. You actually control a little dude who's running around between his different towers and he's upgrading them himself. So you have to take an active amount of time to run from one tower to the next tower to the next tower and upgrade them and build them. And it's just really, really cool. Watch some gameplay for it because it's a lot of fun. Very, very one of those games you can play for 3 hours, look up at the clock and be like, oh man, I've been playing this a while. Another game that's available is Sweetest Thing, which I'm going to guess is a game based around a tea party. Where
it does
play.
Have something to do with candy.
Oh, okay.
Or sweet things. I think it is just a generic kind of puzzle game.
Okay.
It wasn't one that Nintendo featured really, strongly on the website. So
then also we got Chomp 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 Party or Chompy Chomp Chomp Party.
Chompy Chomp Chomp Party.
That's a lot of chomp. I'm gonna guess this is a knockoff of Pac-Man.
Oh, I have no idea.
I don't either. That's my guess.
It might actually be a party game. We don't know.
It's a Pac-Man party game.
It's another one of those that, we're not going to... Nintendo didn't, give a lot of...
press or information.
I guess. Yeah, exactly. So
I'm sure it's a fine game. If you're interested in it, please look it up. We're not making fun of these games, by the way, because it's very difficult to make video games. As somebody who's just made music for games in the past, I understand that, these things, as lame as they may look to others, take a lot of time and a passion for them to go out and create them. So we're by no means joking on behalf of the game. We're just trying to have a good time with the name. That's it. No disrespect at all meant. And then for the virtual console on the Wii U is Poke Park Wii Pikachu's Adventure. I know nothing of this. Holly, I'm assuming you know something.
I know very little. It has something to do with Pikachu.
Is it like
an adventure?
Is it a Pokemon adventure game?
I have no idea, to be honest. I think Poke Park actually is referring to some kind of a theme park.
I don't know.
I can't imagine it's like some grand adventure that you go on with as Pikachu. Try out Super Pokemon Mystery Dungeon for that.
Oh, players can take photos of their favorite Pokemon in the game and save them to an SD card.
Sounds great.
I mean, this is a game that I feel like we need to this should have been on our Game of the Month Club suggestions. I'm
possibly
kidding. No,
not
I'm
sure.
Kidding. No, no.
Not sure how worth it that one is, to be honest.
So that is what's out this week, guys. If you're looking for new video games, I know everyone tells you that there's no such thing as new video games on a Nintendo console. That is a lie. I just told you about at least 7 new video games that came out this week. So that's going to be a new segment we're going to participate in, I think, for a little while, see what you guys think about it. I think it's kind of fun. What do you think, Holly?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It's always good to let people know that, yes, Nintendo does have games coming to its systems.
Especially indie games. Nintendo does still have a very healthy indie scene, so definitely think it's worth talking about when games like Pixel Junk Monsters, for instance, come out. Very, very good game. Worth your time and at least looking up because it's a lot of fun. But as of games that are out, let's talk about games that are already out and we've been playing. You see that segue?
That was fantastic.
It was terrible, actually. I stand by it. I have been playing a couple of games, but the one that I'm going to talk about today is just the Minecraft Super Mario mashup.
Okay, let me just start by asking my questions.
Okay.
I'm dying to ask these. Okay, so first of all, how long have you had Minecraft Wii U Edition? Did you just get it for the Super Mario pack? Or?
I bought it during, I can't remember if I got it for my daughter's birthday or I got it for Christmas, but I got it in either December or January, one or the other.
Okay, so that's a good healthy amount of time. My other question was, the new pack that came out. I don't know much about Minecraft, to be perfectly honest, but the new pack that came out, the way Nintendo has been kind of promoting it, they show off this entire world built by these, like, kind of, you know, block skins and things like that. Does that actually come with the update, or is that just, it does?
Super Mario, I don't know for sure, because I just flew around and checked it out, and I blew stuff up, because in Minecraft, one of the fun things to do is, like, just blowing stuff up. So, like, there's this giant Mario statue. You've probably seen it in the trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So what I did is I hollowed out his nose, and then I went all the way to the middle of his head, and then I went from the top of his head down to where I met with a bunch of explosions, TNT, from there to the top of his head, and I set it off, and I blew up Mario's entire body. It was amazing. It was so much fun. Yeah, that Super Mario World is a pre-made world that you can go and just wander around and check out and look at, and everything that they themed is amazing. For instance, there's this thing called Flint and Coal. I think it's Flint and Coal, which you use to start fires. And the skin for that is, guess what the thing is that makes fires? It's a skin of.
Like the fire flower?
It's a fire flower. It's amazing. The TNT is a POW block. It's so well done. The music.
It's thorough. Sounds like it's very thorough.
You can put a skin on your character so you look like Mario or Princess Peach or Luigi, or Mario with the fire suit, or Mario with the Koopa suit, or Mario with the cat suit. Like, there's a ton of skins, and super well done. The music is pitch perfect. It's all Mario based music and stuff. It's awesome. It is so much fun to run around. I could be wrong. I don't know this for sure, but I feel like this might be a 3D representation of Super Mario World from the Super Nintendo. I don't know for sure because I have no way of checking for sure, but if you follow, because there's like a road pre-built, and if you follow that road, you go to like these little noids, and on each one of the noids looks like a world that if you were playing like a Mario game, you could like select that world and then go play that level.
Okay.
And then there's even temples, and you can try to beat the temple, and it's so cool. There's castles, not temples, but castles.
So you can just go and explore this pre-made like Minecraft world.
Yes.
Plus you get the materials to, you know, put in your own.
Yes.
So world,
cool.
Correct?
I wish now they really do need to make a Zelda based one. And they need to make, because you can kind of build like a campaign of sorts in these. It's hard to explain exactly how without you like playing a lot of Minecraft. But if they were to take the time and make a Zelda themed Minecraft, I mean, you could get swords, you could go through dungeons, you could recreate the entire original Legend of Zelda from the NES. You could recreate that entire world and put it into Minecraft, and it would be amazing.
Yeah, people seem to do incredible things with Minecraft. I'm not sure if I would have the capability of doing that, but with this entire pre-made world, like I say, I think that sounds pretty awesome. And that kind of actually leads me to my final question, which is if I or any of the listeners are, you know, the type of person, the gamer who actually has never experienced Minecraft at all, does this make it worth it for a Nintendo fan to finally try out Minecraft on the Wii U?
Here's the thing, is this should have been available from day one. Like, there's really no reason why it wasn't available from day one. It was a bad mistake. But now that it is available, sadly, some of the steam got lost, I think, on Minecraft for Wii U just a tiny bit. But if you are even remotely interested in Minecraft, just remotely interested, but you love Mario, this is so cool. It's a different way to experience Mario, the Mario world, or the Mario theme, or the Mario look or appeal or music. Like, it's such a cool way to interact in a 3D environment in first person or third person, because you can change it. But like, everything just looks blocky. It looks like grown-up pixels, I guess, is a way to put it. I don't know. It's just so cool, and it's fun to fly around and look at all the different things. And then you can blow up Mario or Luigi or or a Koopa. There's just so many different things you can do, and it's so much fun to interact with the world, like, in creative and just, honestly, just blow stuff up. It's just fun.
Okay, fair enough. That it makes me want to try Minecraft out.
I think it's worth
it. More than anything before.
You can wait, Holly, because Minecraft, this is our tiny little bit of news that we're going to throw in here, is just that there is going to be a physical copy coming out, I believe, June 10th.
Okay.
So you could wait, as I wished I would have done, but now I'm probably just going to own both, I guess. I don't know what I'm going to do, because that's going to be worth a little bit of money. That is going to be a collector's edition for sure.
Yeah. Okay, I actually have a question for the listeners as well, and maybe you actually have an answer to this as well, Matt. But I want to know what Minecraft Wii U, how Minecraft Wii U edition compares to other editions, because I've heard all sorts of opinions on how, like, oh, Minecraft on PC is always the way to go, definitely, or, yes, you know, Minecraft on whatever other system. I mean, is there a big difference, or isn't there a big difference? Are people, like, blowing it out of proportion, it saying, is, like, I'm a PC gamer, so it's best on PC?
It is way easier to play on PC. The buttons and the configuration make it a much more worthwhile experience. That being said, it's also fun to play with a controller in hand. You get used to it. I'm used to playing on the keyboard so much that I'm so much quicker using a keyboard. But I've taught myself to play, because I also have it on the Vita, for instance. And the Vita, it's pretty fun to play on that. I'm not a huge fan of the thumbsticks on the Vita, so it's not like a must-need thing for me personally. But the Wii U, it is super fun. It is totally worth the experience. And, you know, you can play it in browser on the PC, just as like a demo or like the beta of it, but you can play like in browser, just like a free version of it to kind of get an idea of it a little bit.
Okay.
That doesn't have the survival mode. It's just creative. But being able to sit on your couch and play through Mario World in Minecraft, it's such a well-done skin pack that it's just awesome.
Okay. So we've got Matt's opinion on that. If any of you listeners want to chime in and let me know what you think about the different versions of Minecraft and how easy they may or may not be to get into, let me know. That would be great. But for now.
Yes. What have you been playing, Holly? Have you been up to anything exciting in the world of playing video games?
Yeah, a little bit. Speaking of The Legend of Zelda, I finally, it took me weeks to start this. I finally began The Legend of Zelda Four Swords Adventures, which is on the GameCube. It is a game that was kind of designed, you know, with the four-player co-op thing, or competitive? I can't really tell. Everyone always said it was competitive. Seems pretty co-op to me. But that's just me playing it solo. So it is one of the multiplayer Zelda games that you can hook up. If you have some link cables with your Game Boy Advance systems, you can play with multiple friends. I'm going to try to eventually get someone, because I do have cable to the GameCube.
Really?
Just one cable. I used it to transfer Pokemon from the GameCube Pokemon games over to the handheld Pokemon games, and so I do have a cable, and I have two Game Boy Advance SPs, actually, so if I got another cable, it'd be pretty simple to get some extra friends in there. I'm gonna try doing that, but we'll see whether or not that happens, because you can play Four Swords Adventure by yourself just on the GameCube. So that is what I have been doing. I've been really enjoying it. The puzzle solving is pretty rudimentary. The combat, though, every time I play a new 2D Legend of Zelda game, I am reminded of one of the biggest reasons why I don't like 2D Zelda games that much, and it's the combat. I hate it. It does not feel very fluid or intuitive. That was the word. It doesn't feel very intuitive to me. It just feels really, really irritating. Last night, I died a few different times on a certain level in Four Swords Adventures, and it was because I just cannot seem to get the hang of fighting monsters in a 2D Zelda game. So I hate that as much as I ever have, but the puzzle solving is pretty good. There have been already several times where I've gotten, you know, like semi-stuck at a certain part, and I have worked through it. You feel that great sense of satisfaction when you solve a puzzle in a Zelda game. It's pretty fun.
Now,
and I don't get where the, like, you know, competitive thing always comes from.
You can collect gold.
Force gems.
Yeah, gems and stuff. And I think part of that is that whoever has the most at the end of a stage during one of the dungeons, like, kind of goes in first place. Like, I think it's like semi-competitive, the same way like Mario Brothers, you know, like Wii was like semi-competitive because you could try and collect more coins than your friend and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I can kind of see how that would be, because there are definitely also things, puzzles and things that you need to solve, but you have to work as a team to do so. And so, it's got definitely a lot of co-op as well, which after playing Triforce Heroes, I'm like, I don't know why, you know, Triforce Heroes was almost considered like the first co-op Zelda game multiplayer experience, because Four Swords Adventure certainly feels that way. But yep, those are my impressions. The music is great. most Zelda games have great music, but Four Swords Adventures had music that was actually a lot better than I expected it to be, and it's got a great atmosphere. The game, like, kind of, you know, opens on this dark and stormy night because the whole world has been, like, shrouded by this, like, cloud layer and, you know, thunder and lightning and things like that. And I know we've seen that in a few other Zelda games, but it never ceases to kind of send chills down your spine. So overall, very, very fun game. And now, it is playable in single player.
Were you aware that they released this for the DSi? The DSi
world? Released Four Swords. Yes, not Four Swords Adventure.
Oh, yes,
so
true,
I think
true.
I think
it was slightly different
things.
Yeah. I do have it on my 3DS that I can download, you know, through the eShop. I've always wanted to sit there and play it with somebody, but it's hard to find two people with that on their 3DS. But one of these days.
That's one where, like, it's only been available for certain short periods of time,
yep,
right?
Yep.
Okay, I thought maybe at one point Nintendo just made it free for everybody at all times, but it still seems like it's just kind of,
well,
you know, they'll occasionally.
Who knows? It's Nintendo and they do things the way they like to do it. But one of these days, if they ever do something like that again, I need to get it because I already have it. I need to try and get my daughter to download it. And then that'd be fun for me and her to play through a Zelda game together. That'd be good.
Yeah, it's a pretty, as far as Four Swords Adventure goes, it seems like a pretty good formula. So I'm sure it works just as well in the DSi version of the game. I also own that one, but I am playing the Zelda games kind of in the timeline chronology a little bit. So the last game that I played besides Link's Crossbow Training was Twilight Princess HD, and unbelievably, Four Swords Adventure actually comes after Twilight Princess in the chronology. So that's what I'm playing, and next I'll probably play Skyward Sword and kind of go down from there and try a couple of the different timeline splits that there are. But for now, I'm just finishing up the I'm trying to remember which era this is in. It's not the Hero is Defeated era, it's the Child era or the Adult era. And it's the Child era because it goes on with Link as a child and where he goes to the story of Majora's Mask, and then Majora's Mask goes to Twilight Princess. So currently I am in the Child era part of the timeline, and I will be finishing that when I finish Four Swords Adventures. So fun stuff.
What's your next game that you're playing after this?
Like I say, I'll probably start with Skyward Sword, which is the beginning of the entire chronology. And I love that game so much. It's been so long since I've played and beaten it that I'm just like, I gotta get some Skyward Sword in me.
Well, I'm glad that that you enjoyed it, because I know that game's semi-decisive for a lot of people.
Divisive?
Divisive, yeah. Not decisive. I don't know what I say. I speak words sometimes. Now we're going to go on to our feature, Holly, and I am totally, let's be honest, E3 for video gamers is Christmas, and it is
exactly
the most exciting time of the year, and this year we already know that we're semi-disappointed from the get-go. I know some people are still excited for the Zelda announcement, which is totally fine, but it's still semi-disappointing that we're not going to get a digital event. We're not going to get, I don't know, we're just
are we missing out on like a stage presence as well? Like, what's Nintendo's plan for a stage presence?
Treehouse, that's it.
That's kind of sad.
Very
because
sad.
I was enjoying the kind of stage events that they decided to do, like the World Championships last year, and then the year before that with the that was a Smash Bros. Invitational, right?
Yes, that was, yeah, no, last year was, that was 2 years ago with Smash Brothers Invitational. Last year they did the Nintendo World Championship, which we haven't heard about, and I would not be shocked if they didn't do that again, because I know it was great press, it was awesome to watch, and I just think that they would be kind of, it would be ridiculous not to do something like that again.
Uh-huh. But it doesn't, I mean, there's no news of it yet. So for today, I guess we're just going to Think of past E3s and what we enjoyed about them. And speaking of Skyward Sword, actually, 5 years ago during the Zelda series 25th anniversary of being released in the West, that is, the E3 show that year, 2011, opened with the Zelda Symphony of the Goddesses, and that was its very first performance, and it's still touring. I actually may be able to have a chance to see it again this December, and that E3 will always be possibly the most memorable one for me. I didn't see a whole lot of the ones before that, truth be told.
I love E3 and watching the E3 press conferences. I remember the good times, the bad times, the funny times, the amazing times. Just like throwing it out there, one of my favorite E3 memories for me personally was them showing off the showcase of software for the Wii U. Yeah, I mean, this is only 3 years ago, I guess now, maybe 4 years ago. But they showed off like the Batman trailer with it. They showed off Darksiders and Metroid: Last Light and Dirt. Obviously, some of these games didn't actually turn out to happen. Ghost Recon, for instance. But it showed this awesome showcase of like really cool games and up and coming games and new games. At the time, Batman Arkham City had not come out yet. So like you were kind of in the back of your head thinking like, oh, I wonder if this is going to come out at the same time. Like how close are we to the system coming out? This was before we even saw the controller at the time when we saw the showcase of all the stuff that was going to be coming out for it. So
was this Nintendo's like last actual live press conference
yes.
that they had?
This was their last.
I remember it being semi-disappointing, actually.
No, this wasn't their last one. Their last one had Nintendo Land, and that was a terrible ending.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yes, that was
sad. So this is the one before that one.
I believe so. I'm pretty sure. At least this was a good memory from that E3, if not.
poor Nintendo. Their very final E3 press conference that they actually had was kind of a letdown, with the Nintendo Land reveal at the end just being a complete disappointment.
I believe Nintendo E3 2009. I'm trying to think of what was announced in 2009, but that's the one where we saw Animal Crossing for the first time for the Wii, I believe. And I want to just say that entire E3 press conference was kind of not good for me personally, but the best part about it. No, I think I'm thinking of a different one. But the best part about the one that I'm thinking of was it's the first time we saw Kirby's Epic Yarn.
Ah, okay. And now, I'm trying to remember whether that game came out in 2010 or 2011. If it came out in 2010, then it probably was revealed in 2009 press conference.
Yes. Well, 2010, I think. Because it came out later that year, I believe.
Okay. If I'm actually thinking of things correctly, 2010, like, I don't think I saw the press conference, because I think 2011 was the first time I actually tuned into the press conference, weirdly. But if 2010 is the year I'm thinking of, I didn't see the press conference, but I did see tons of trailers that I just got super excited over. I think that's when they had the trailer for, like, the new Gold, or, you know, the GoldenEye remake.
Oh, yeah. That was a great announcement.
Yeah, that and Donkey Kong Country Returns, which I was excited about at the time, of course, even though when I finally got to play that game, it was a huge disappointment to me.
It was also 2009, though, was the announcement for New Super Mario Bros. Wii. It was the announcement for Scribblenauts. Do you remember Scribblenauts?
I don't know very much about that series at all.
So cool. Scribblenauts was such an amazing DS game. That allowed you to write a word and then you could play with that word in the game. Oh, Scribblenauts and Super Scribblenauts were, I didn't ever play Unlimited or the DC version, though I don't know why, because they're such fun adventure games in a lot of ways. Also, Skyward Sword was first shown off at E3 2009. It was that artwork. Do you remember the artwork with Fi?
I do. Again, that year I wasn't really, following E3 except through Nintendo Power. And so I do remember when Nintendo Power published that artwork in the magazine. And I was just like, oh my goodness. Everybody's just like, Fi totally. I mean, they're kind of stating the obvious, but, Fi, which we didn't know her name at the time, but she looks like, she incorporates the same design as the Master Sword handle, for example, and Link wasn't holding a sword in that artwork, and so it was just so tantalizing.
And everyone was right. It was one of the few times that, like, I think Nintendo tried to not, give too much information as they usually do, but they totally gave out too much information with that picture to a certain point.
Well, yeah, to a certain point. I mean, in the picture, Link is not holding a sword, as I mentioned. Whereas in the in Skyward Sword, he does handle a sword the entire time. It's just that the spirit of Fi is in that sword. So it ended up being a little bit different in the final game, at least.
Okay, I'm looking up. I'm trying to find out which press conference I'm thinking of, because. I don't know if you, let's see, 2000. Oh, yeah, that's right. They didn't have a press conference between 2000 and it was like 7 or 8 or something like that. They had a very weird press conference because they tried to really downsize E3. I don't know if you remember this, but...
Was that an E3-wide thing or just Nintendo?
No, E3-wide. They kind of like all said together, like, we're gonna try and not do a big presentation anymore. Nintendo and like some of the other companies still had like their presentation, but it wasn't in this giant expo center as it used to be in. They kind of just downsized it to make it feel a little bit smaller. And I'm still looking for the one that I'm thinking of.
I wouldn't know, unfortunately.
Can you think of any other memories that you're thinking of?
Well, I think 2005 is when Nintendo had one of its best reveals ever, and that was for Twilight Princess in its early, early, early phase, where, you know, Nintendo just had kind of like that brief trailer of, you know, Link holding a lantern walking through the woods. I think there was a little shot of the, like, I don't even know the name of the Bokoblins, maybe, whatever those characters are who kind of chase you through Hyrule Field in that part in Twilight Princess. They showed a little bit of that, plus the sun set. And after that, especially since at the very end, you see Link kind of sheathe his sword, and then the trailer kind of fades out, and then in the back you see the silhouette of Miyamoto, and he pulls out a sword, and there's like a sword sound effect, and people were already going crazy at this point.
Yeah.
I, again, didn't see... Yeah, it was pretty entertaining. I, again, didn't actually see the entire press conference this year, and again, I think it was 2005, so I'm not sure that it was a press conference that was really widely distributed, I guess, like on the internet, for example, but you can watch videos of people who actually took video while they were there, and man, the crowd probably went wilder than it ever has at any E3 ever for any announcement.
Well, that was when they first showed
up. That's always fun to watch.
Yeah, Twilight Princess, and that was a big deal. That was exciting times. I found the one I was thinking of. It's 2008 is the one that I'm thinking of, and they had like some really cool announcements during this one, like the Grand Theft Auto Chinatown Wars, but it ended on such a weird note because like we heard about Animal Crossing, but then they showed it off and it looked really bad in my opinion, and it is pretty bad City Folk. But then it ended with Wii Music. Have you ever seen the ending of E3 2008 with Robbie drumming playing on the Wii Fit board, and then also two Wiimotes playing like he's playing drums?
I don't know if I've ever actually seen it all the way through, but I certainly have heard.
It's pretty cringeworthy, especially when like Miyamoto comes out with Reggie and they're like trying to like play like Super Mario Brothers with Wii Music in the background, and it just looks like it looks so uncomfortable like the entire time.
And unresponsive.
Yes.
So that was the same year where they kind of downsized things?
Yes, that was during that time because like I said, they had the regular press conference. The show floor wasn't as big as it used to be. Everything was in like different hotel lobby rooms, and it wasn't all in one big meeting ground. It was I remember the press saying they were not a fan of it at all. E3 is so fun. Even the bad moments, like, do you remember Karen? She was the vice president of Nintendo for, I can't remember her last name. She was talking about her snowboarding story when they were talking about Shaun White snowboarding.
This is not ringing a bell at all. I haven't even heard it talked about before.
It's a terrible moment because like nobody cares that you broke your leg when you're snowboarding. Nintendo did something really poor when they're in the lead, as they tried to make everyone care about like their individual stories. But it wasn't very interesting. Instead of like spending more time on the game, they spent too much time talking about like the not. So here's the thing: like nowadays, Nintendo does a really good job of showing off the developers of the game and talking about like why we're gonna make the game. But in this, they had like the vice president talking about her ski trip.
Yeah, like, it's kind of like my 7th grade English teacher telling us a story about how she got cancer. We're all just like open mouthed, like disturbed. We're just okay. Lady, you're crazy.
This is not needed at this moment.
Yes, exactly. That's what it immediately when you described that to me, I thought like 7th grade English teacher telling us that disturbing story about her cancer experience.
And that's it sticks with you. I mean, these moments of these E3s, but you remember it and you can't forget it. I remember one time they brought up a fan of The Legend of Zelda. This guy, he loved the Zelda series, and they let him play. He was like the first person, at least they said, you know, type thing, that was allowed to try Phantom Hourglass on stage. And he showed off like some of the mechanics and showed off like how you're going to go through the dungeons using the touchscreen and stuff. And it was just really, really cool moments. I remember when the Wii was first announced, they let these people that won a contest go up on stage and play against Miyamoto and Reggie. And one of them was with Reggie. One of them was with, maybe it was Iwata and Miyamoto against Reggie and this guy that won it. And they got to play a game of tennis on stage at E3 for the first time. No one, you know what I mean? Like they do, they've always had a history of doing a very good job of showcasing fandom, I feel, in their E3, press or presence.
Yeah. Let's talk about like one of the best years ever. And it's actually a recent year, and that's 2014. I think it was the second year that Nintendo decided to not have a live press conference. Cause the first time they decided to do that, I think it was quite underwhelming because they called it a Nintendo Direct, and you know, we already get Nintendo Directs.
Yes. And it was a bad Nintendo Direct because it was, well, they weren't prepared for the amount of people that were going to try and watch it at one time. So the stream was terrible the first time they did it. Everything looked like it was... I remember watching... Because the very first game they showed off the first year they did the digital event or the Direct or whatever they called it. The first game they showed off was Super Mario 3D World. But it looked so bad in the quality of the stream that I remember literally thinking, like, is this a sequel to the 3DS game?
Oh, yikes.
That's what
yeah,
it looked
so,
like.
Yeah, so technical bugs. And you know... There is a lot to be said for a good name for things, because I think as soon as Nintendo decided to start calling it the digital event, or I think they called it something different in 2004, I think that made actually quite a lot of difference. And 2004 was just a phenomenal 14 year for Nintendo. I think that's where Splatoon was revealed.
Yes.
But what else? Okay, there were other things that happened in that I think just people went wild over.
2014 was the best Nintendo press conference. It showed off everything between Super Mario or Super Smash Brothers for the 3DS and the Wii U, Yoshi's Woolly World, Hyrule Warriors, obviously they showed a little bit more of, Captain Toad, Kirby and the Rainbow Curse, Splatoon. They showed off Star Fox, obviously didn't amount to too much, but the entire digital event was themed after Robot Chicken, which was hilarious.
The first reveal of Zelda was in there as well. Splatoon, oh my gosh, we got
Bayonetta
the reveal
2?
Of Splatoon. Was that in there as well?
Yes, Bayonetta 2 was in there as well.
I feel like that was at least two different E3s.
It was, but once again, they showed it off and it was going to be coming out that year, is why that was such a big deal. Like, the amount of games they showed off, not only for like Nintendo fans, but what should have been for everybody, was really impressive, and everything was fun looking, everything was... everything had a very good charm to it, and then also the way they presented it, like we're saying with the Robot Chicken, it just made it funny. You remember the guy in the audience that stood up and he's like, Reggie, when are we gonna see Mother 3? And then he blows him up with his eyes, or he throws a fireball at him. Like, that's hilarious.
That happened in both. Oh my gosh, I'm looking at it right now actually, and yes, the Robot Chicken stuff was so priceless.
Yes,
and I'm glad Nintendo kind of brought back that charm with the you know, puppets of last year, but last year was still quite a disappointment.
Less
just
games.
In terms of games.
Yes. This one.
And less good games as well. I mean, as soon as I saw, you know, basically what is Mario Party for Animal Crossing, as soon as I saw that, I was like, what, Nintendo? Who likes Mario Party? Who is asking for an Animal Crossing themed Mario Party? So what you're actually presenting at E3 is very important. Yo-Kai Watch was actually revealed for like a Western release, I think, last year. But again, I don't think there were many people who were that excited for that.
For Yo-Kai Watch, it had a following, but that was also the first mention of Mario Maker was during that year as well. Pushmo World, that was the first time they showed off Codename Steam, Devil's Third. There was a lot of stuff going. This was the year that it was really them saying, like, this is the Wii U and this is what we're doing. And, you know, sadly, it just did not catch the fire they wanted it to catch, which is, I think 2014 was the telling year that basically said, like, all right, time to move on. And we saw that in the E3 2015 with the lack of information, new games, and exciting stuff. And then we're seeing it even more this year because they don't show us nothing.
Well, Zelda, I mean, like I have said in previous episodes of the podcast, Nintendo obviously has a lot of faith in Zelda, and it had better live up to the hype.
Yes.
It makes me wonder, like, how is Nintendo going to reveal the NX then, if they're going to do it, you know, between this E3 and next E3? Because, you know, it seems like an E3 worthy kind of announcement. But, you know, you get a lot of people saying, like, Nintendo just wants to do this the way that they want. They don't want, you know, like all the extra press buzz, I guess you could say, because there's obviously a lot of it at every E3, and so Nintendo's going to try to possibly get out of that and be able to have their own buzz for when they reveal what the NX is and so on and so forth.
But it's not crazy to think that either, because Nintendo actually revealed the Wii U at its own private reveal party for it that happened in New York, so it's not crazy to think that they won't ever announce the NX at E3, and they're going to do it separately for that exact reason you're giving. They want to control the message and the hype and all that kind of stuff. So it's not going to be too crazy, but it's just sad that we're going to have to wait even longer to find out information. And then also just E3 feels a little empty. So
yeah,
it's exciting.
Which is sad. I mean, Christmas morning, it's like you said, it is our Christmas morning, and especially we're not getting Nintendo, a whole lot from Nintendo.
Especially because Nintendo always does it on a Tuesday, so it's like you don't even have to wait like a long time during E3. Like, you just have to get past Monday. And then once you get past Monday, it's like, oh boy, it's time to watch Nintendo. You know, it'd be worse if it was like at the end of E3 weekend, where it's like on the last event on a Thursday or something. But it's early, it starts off the show a lot of times. Like, they were one of the very first like presenters in E3 at the time. It's sad once again, like I said, because if we watch like EA or Activision or Valve, or Bethesda, or Ubisoft, for instance, like, none of these companies will have anything for a Nintendo platform, and that's what makes it sad that Nintendo isn't even going to have anything for a Nintendo platform. Is we're just going to be very much like, we have nothing to watch during E3, and it's just kind of sad for that respect. But enough sadness. We wanted to talk about the good times, and I think we got a lot of those fun memories out. It's just, E3 is Christmas for us gamers, and we're so excited. I'm still excited, Holly. I mean, even if I know I'm not going to get what I want, I'm still happy to see Nintendo is going to have a presence there in general.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to get everything I want, but Zelda, again, my favorite game series, so I'm pretty excited. It's kind of like waking up on Christmas morning and seeing that you only have one present, but it's one of those super giant presents, and you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited for this. And, you know, it'll only take you a minute or two to unwrap it, whereas normally, especially me with like having 8 siblings, usually Christmas morning unwrapping things takes forever. So it's going to be nothing like that. It'll be the kind of Christmas where you just have one giant present. But I'm pretty excited about that giant present. And yes, I'm excited to see how Nintendo handles revealing the NX and things beyond that.
Yep. But for now, I think, Holly, that is going to do it for us today. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you'd like to participate in the Game of the Month Club, as I said previously before, you have 5 games to choose from: SteamWorld Heist, Runbow, Yoshi's Woolly World, Whoa Dave, and Super Mario Land 2, 6 golden coins. You can let us know which one of those 5 games you're interested in voting in by either hitting us up on Twitter at the hashtag NFGameClub. You can find me on Twitter at OnlyMattDozen. You can find the Nintendo Fever on Twitter at Nintendo Fever. And you can find Holly on Twitter at
Holly Felmuth.
And it's that simple. Let us know what game you're interested in for the Game of the Month. Also, make sure you send us an email either about the Game of the Month or your general ideas or nostalgia, like we're going over about E3. You can always find us on, or you can always hit us up on email at podcast@nintendofever.com. And until next time, guys, we'll see you when we put the controllers down. Bye.
See y'all.